Brother Bob Ross has been at Windsor Hills going on 26 years, just a couple of weeks, 26 years, and has directed a nationwide youth conference for the 23rd one coming up this July. As a faithful man, one of the premier youth directors in America, and I mean that. And Emily, where are you? Emily Hansen, would you stand, please? Of course, this is his daughter. And then Ashley, where are you? Ashley, would you stand? Ashley, where are you at? Ashley, there you are. Both these young ladies, his daughter, both these young ladies in his youth group. And I was thinking about this. Joseph Maxwell graduated from Oklahoma Baptist College, serving the Lord. Rich Montgomery, where are you at, Rich? I saw you. Rich graduated from Oklahoma Baptist College out of our church. Of course, Ben did, and his wife Ashley. Brother Caleb did, his wife Emily. Said Rachel's down there now, but I'm missing somebody. Crystal, yes, Crystal's down there. I'm trying to think about somebody else who might have graduated from down there. Missy Duggar, Danny's wife, graduated. Yes, went there, graduated there. Yep. So it's been a tremendous influence on a lot of young people in our church, and I appreciate that. Brother Ross highly involved in their lives through the college ministry, of course, while they're there in school. So it's good to have him here to preach tonight. Girls, you come up and sing for us. Brother David Jones, stand. He's the bus driver. You get all things fixed out there, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a faithful man, teaches in the college, directs Brother Vineyard's bus ministry. We're glad Brother Jones is here. You hear the ladies sing, and when they're done, give you undivided attention to Brother Bob Ross. He'll be bringing the message. God bless you.
And he's, Brother Angel, thank you so much just for the honor of inviting us back and allowing us to come to Faith Baptist Church here in Bourbonnais. My heart gets so full every time I think of this ministry, I can't see straight. I'll be honest with you. Now my wife has been at Faith Baptist more than she's been at Windsor Hills this past month. She wants to put in for a transfer of membership, and that might get me in trouble. I may not see that 26th anniversary, Brother. I've already seen that one with my wife. I just won't see it at Windsor Hills. But then again, maybe that would encourage Brother Vineyard's heart in a way that would make him even healthier than he is. I don't even want to ask him if that would be the case. I appreciate you asking questions about Dr. Vineyard and assuring us of your prayers for him. Be honest with you, the last 3 weeks he's felt as good as he's felt in a long time. He preached last week with more fire and exuberance and everything else. He's on an all-liquid diet. He said the other day, he said, it's amazing what you can juice in a juicer. Snicker bars and all kinds of things. You might know that. You know Dr. Vineyard said, that sounds just like him. Well, he's Green Beret tough. He saw a fellow, Brother Angel, at a father-son retreat that we had just over a weekend. And one guy was over there making some homemade toast. And he says, Carmel, he says, that was his last name. He says, Carmel, give me a couple pieces of that toast. He said, now, preacher, you're on an all-liquid diet. Carmel, shut up. Just give the preacher some toast. He said, it'll be liquid before it goes down. And I'm going to leave it in my mouth long enough to be liquid. And then he goes walking over to the table with the two pieces of toast. He's smuggling them like a little kid to keep people from seeing them. He saw Coach Price making a big pot of beans. He said, those will liquefy too, Coach. He said, just put a couple of big ladles of that right here. Boy, he cheated like all get out that weekend. And he paid for it a little bit on Monday. But by Wednesday, he was honest again and back. Now, he might have gotten himself in big trouble last Sunday. Several people were there to hear him. And his wife is in Indiana visiting her mother. And he stood up all day long. He kept talking about how free he felt and how liberated he felt. And I thought, boy, the way he emphasized those words, when that word gets back up to Mrs. Vineyard, his freedom may come to a screeching halt. So pray for Dr. Vineyard. And folks, just wanted to say a couple of things about the display table that we have back in the back. Now, I'm not trying to compete with Brother Harrison. I'm not trying to advertise a bunch of things for sale. I usually try to stay out of that altogether. But we do have a DVD for anybody that would be interested in just prayerfully considering Oklahoma Baptist College as a place of training in the future for you. If you'd like to pick one of those up, those are free of charge. Here's a DVD that was just made over the weekend. I'm as excited about this DVD as I guess any that we've ever had the privilege of producing at Windsor Hills. This one is called Operation Amazonas, and this is one that Ashley's father has a whole lot to do with. Brother Finn went down to the Amazon Basin, a place where along the Amazon River in Brazil, there are over 30 to 40,000 villages that have never been penetrated with any fashion of preaching or the Word of God in any way, shape, or form. The Catholic Church is not even penetrated in most of those villages. It'll show you how far back they are, not only in time, but to gospel preaching. And I'm not holding the Catholic Church up, of course, as a gospel preaching institution, but simply to say the Catholics have just about been as many places as Coca-Cola. If they haven't been there, I guarantee you, it's been a long time since anybody has been there. And the purpose of this, Operation Amazonas, is to change all that, give those people an opportunity, a chance to get saved. Now, Brother Finn launched into that last year. He got his heart touched and stirred about that, came home, preached many times on that, and a number of people, even with us traveling in the choir this week, have already set their lives aside to go to the Amazon and see to it that a lot of these villages get the light of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Kelly got in on it. Brother Kelly's going down there this summer with Brother Finn. Brother Kelly came to Brother Van Manen this past week, and he said, you know, I'd like to put together a CD that just has music on it, that's mission music, that is performed and sung by past graduates of Oklahoma Baptist College. So you've got 25 songs on here, performed by at least 25 different OBC graduates through the years. I've listened to this now through about two times on Sunday, and I think one time Saturday afternoon, between a couple of appointments we had with Dr. Vineyard, and I'm telling you, that will touch anybody's heart. And many of the people that perform on this, it's not a performance, you understand. It were, these were CDs and things that they made as they were getting ready to go on to deputation, and in some cases furlough, as they came home from the field. The first song on there is by the wife of our deaf director, Scott Crabtree. Mrs. Tricia Crabtree wrote the song and sings the song, Bury My Heart. It is a phenomenal missions song. And then the last one is To the Ends of the Earth. That's Kendall and Nancy Lohman. They've been now 12 years in Beijing, China, and unbelievably, they've been longer in the nation of China than any other independent Baptist missionary. It has been a graveyard of a lot of missionaries that tried to get in there before, but it's unbelievable what's going on. And because of the work they've done, it's opened it up even for a lot of other places. I understand Hiles Anderson's got a phenomenal outreach planned for China, and much of that was open. The door was opened there through, in part, the ministry of Kendall and Nancy Lohman, and I thank the Lord for that. And one final thing, the book that Dr. Vineyard just wrote recently, The Future of Judeo-Christian Civilization. Now, he wrote this. The first eight chapters are nothing but Bible, what the Bible has to say about the whole issue of Israel and what our role and our position toward them ought to be. God forbid that this government ever turns aside from a platform of wanting to help Israel. And I think we're dangerously close to flirting with that right now by insisting that their arch enemy, the Palestinians, be given not only a place near the homeland, but in the heart of the homeland as well. A very, very key thing to understanding events currently and in the future. Now, Dr. Vineyard asked me to do this, to mention this book. This book was going to sell for $10. It is selling for $10. We do have a number of them back on the book table, but not in great supply. He's also asking that we mention in churches that if they would like to help him on a project, he wants to put one of these in the hands of every Knesset member in Israel. Now, he's going there Thursday, and he's taking over 125 of these. He's taking quite a few more than that. But he's going to visit the Knesset, and he's going to put one of these in the hands of every Knesset member. Already, Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon got one of these before he got his heart attack. I don't know that reading this gave him his heart attack, but I'll tell you one thing. He should have known better than to take the position he took. Prior to that, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a connection, not between the book and his heart attack, but between his position and what has happened to him. Ehud Olmert, the man that took over for him, he also has had one of these. Rabbis have received these. Many of the former Knesset members have received those, and many of them have written back or called back or emailed Dr. Vineyard and said, Dr. Vineyard, we had no idea that Christians thought this way toward Israel. They are not our enemy. They are our friend if they take the position that you're taking. And don't kid yourself, Dr. Vineyard has witnessed about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to rabbis and to Knesset members and put it right between their eyes. We've seen the salvation of some. Brother Brian Sharp led one of the men that we've come to know and love over there, a man named Itamar Markovich, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Itamar saved. Brother Vineyard will be with him, Lord willing. Itamar will be his guide on this trip that he's taking with the Dan Post, Brother and Mrs. Dan Post, and Brother and Mrs. Kendall Lawman, starting this Thursday. And so we'd appreciate your prayers. Just consider the book, purchasing it yourself, and then possibly, if you could, even helping to purchase another one to put in the hands of a Knesset member. And if the Lord would speak to your heart, that's great. If not, don't worry about that. We're very thankful just to be able to mention that book tonight to you. Well, would you turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 9? And while you're turning there, I would like to say this. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 22 tonight. I changed my message halfway through the song service this evening. Luke chapter 22. The songs, they speak to my heart. The testimonies of the students speak to my heart. And I tell you, they've been looking forward to being with the different churches that we've been with throughout this week. We started with Brother Bragg last night in Baldwin, Missouri. We have his daughter, Jana, here. We come here tonight, and praise the Lord, it's such a blessing, my wife and I personally, to be able to see our daughter, Emily, our son-in-law, Caleb. And what a blessing it is to see Ben and Ashley And that little precious granddaughter now, a granddaughter of the angels and of the Finns. Mrs. Finn, I think, told everybody in the choir to her, kiss her for me, kiss her for me, kiss her for me. I got here tonight and I said, was she talking about Ashley or is she talking about McKenna? I decided it was McKenna, all right? So, praise the Lord, we can lavish the kisses on her. What a precious little baby God has given you, Ben and Ashley, and we're so proud of you and happy for McKenna and the home. My word, what a heritage that little girl is going to be able to grow up in. And I know that both the angels and the Finns are so happy. You ought to see Uncle Jody, if you've ever met Jody Finn. Most people walk around with wallet-sized pictures. Not Jody. He's got a file folder and 8x10s. You know, he's got 8x10s in the service. And I hesitated to look at him from the platform. They always got a little high sign for Jody. Let him know he's got a Marine tie. And so I compliment his Marine tie. Or he's got a Marine belt buckle. I compliment that. Forget all the Marine stuff. It was just McKenna. From the other 2 weeks ago today till now, it's McKenna. So the other day, I gave him a thumbs-up sign. He reaches for his file folder, and I'm sitting there, no, no, not now, Jody, not now. Dr. Vineyard's halfway through the message. Jody's over there with his 8x10. Dr. Vineyard's kind of looking around. What's going on here? Never mind, Dr. Vineyard. It's just a McKenna sighting is all we've had in the service. Well, folks, I'll tell you this. I told my son-in-law tonight when I came, I said, Caleb, I'm always hesitant about even letting Brother Angel know that we're coming. Because if you come here, he'll be saying, we want you to speak, or we want you to do this, or somehow or other feature you. And Brother Angel, I'm not just saying this. I tell you, you're one of my favorite preachers by far. I don't know of a church, and I say this about Brother Bragg as well, as far as the pastor of the church is concerned, men that I dearly love and greatly respect and look up to. And I thank the Lord for you, and I thank the Lord for this ministry, the impact that it's having not only on Bourbonnais, but Illinois, in the United States of America, and literally around the world. You have no idea, folks, and I'll say this to the membership of Faith Baptist Church, how you fire up our missionaries when they come here. I'm always pleased to hear that our missionaries have been a blessing in the churches to which they've been able to visit for deputation or again on furlough. But I want to tell you the truth goes the other way around. There are certain ministries that really fire up those missionaries. It would be hard for them not to be a blessing here, the way you folks are such a blessing to our people. And we thank you from the depths of our heart for that. I bring you greetings, of course, from Dr. Vineyard, from Brother Finn, Mrs. Finn, and from our whole church family. And we just don't have a better friend out there in the ministry than Brother Terry Angel and the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. And I thank you from the depths of my heart for that. In Luke chapter 22, I'd like to read two verses tonight just to get into this message, and I promise I will not be long. In verse 41 and verse 42, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is the Lord, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm speaking tonight on how to know the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you already for the music we've heard and the way our hearts have been stirred and spoken to already. I thank you for our dear friend, Brother Angel, his dear wife and family, and this ministry. I thank you, dear Lord, my wife and I personally, that we have a daughter and a son-in-law in this ministry. And Lord, we couldn't think of a church we'd rather see them be working in than this one right here. We thank you so much for the way you led and brought all that to pass. I thank you, Lord, for the faithful members of this ministry. And I pray that though, Lord, they've heard many, many, many messages on the will of God, and they know the importance of it, I pray that as we just take a look at a few basic thoughts about it again, that, Lord, you'd impress upon our hearts again after what we've seen tonight in this choir and Brother Van Manen and his wife and their lives, that Lord, there's nothing better for our life than to figure out what the will of God is and then to do it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I deal with young people a lot, and I see many of them so in such a hurry, I might say, to just head towards shipwreck in their life personally, because they just want to take their lives into their own hands and structure for them what their future is going to be. Brother Van Manen mentioned a member of his family who is content with a great big house. For some, that's the arrival of it all right there, the big house or the big car or the lucrative paycheck. Or how many young men look out there, they have a little bit of athletic ability, and they humbly chart themselves up as a first-round draft choice in the NBA or Major League Baseball or National Football League or something like that, all in basic humility, of course, and not because they've got an eye on a paycheck or anything, but they just have humbly admitted that they probably are the best athlete in that position that ever wore a uniform and played a certain sport. And pride so easily creeps into our life as we take our own lives into account. Let me say by way of introduction tonight, I could go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, verses well known to you, Ephesians 5, 17, that talk about knowing the will of God and being filled with the Spirit of God. All great verses indeed. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 8, I would like for you to go and look at that verse. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 8, as we think tonight about the will of God. In Psalm chapter 40 and in verse 8, we read this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I see in that verse right there, you cannot separate the will of God from the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be full and overflowing in our heart if we're going to stay focused on knowing and doing the will of God. Let me say again, the three most important things that we as Christians can possibly do in our life. I'm talking about people that are already saved, people who already know that heaven is going to be their home, people who already have a desire, at least for their life, to be pleasing to the Lord, then there's three most important things they need to do. Number one, they need to know the will of God. We see that in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. Secondly, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't do this work in our own human weakness. There's no way we can do that. Just the demands and the rigors of the ministry would eat us alive if we don't do it with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's not just for the preacher. That's not just for the staff. That's for every person that occupies these pews. So, first of all, to know the will of God. Secondly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And thirdly, the most important thing we need to do as Christians is learn to die to self daily. Die to self daily. How many problems we face because we do not die to self. You just take a look at our reactions to little problems in our lives, and that'll tell you that the flesh is not near dead. It's very, very active indeed in our life because it swells up, it puffs up, it angers up, it does all kinds of things that we should not allow it to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, we see this, I protest by your rejoicing, Paul said, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I've heard people say, I get up in the morning and the first thing I want to do is jump into a casket and learn how to die daily. How many times you try to just give advice, not even correction, not even rebuke, just advice to a young person. And they swell up and they get angry and the next thing you know they're telling somebody, well, so-and-so really chewed me out. Didn't chew you out, just tried to get you some advice that would keep you from shipwrecking. That's all. And yet, oh man, they act like you just asked for their right arm. Act like you just went for the jugular vein. And all you're trying to do is get them to realize you need to die daily. This afternoon on the bus, I got a phone call from Brother Finn. And we've got a student that is badly, badly self-destructing right now. We're out here on choir tour. We're having a great time. I don't mind telling you. In the back of my mind, that phone call's been there all day long. And it's difficult sometimes, as you well know, Brother Angel, to focus on the job at hand when you've got that kicking around back there. What can you do? I can't do anything standing where I am right now. But I can pray, and I can intercede, and I can ask the Lord to do something. And if the Lord doesn't do something, that boy's going to self-destruct. Not just spiritually, not just emotionally, physically. And a lot of people are going to get hurt by that decision. What's he doing? He's taking his will into his own life. He's not dying to self. And I don't say that as a cause of alarm to our college students, but I will tell you this. Sometimes we as Christians help people self-destruct because we don't point them to the importance of dying to self. Get help. Go to the Lord, first of all. Go to the preacher. Go to a godly mother and father. Go to a godly counselor, somebody that can help you. But don't just run to another backslidden friend. Don't go to somebody who never knew the first thing about dying to self and ask them anything about what I should do at a major crossroads of my life. And so we need to realize we need to know the will of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to die to self daily. Let me just say there's the two most important questions that any person can face. Number one is this: what shall we do with Jesus? That'll settle the issue of salvation. The second most important question is, what wilt thou have me to do? Speaking to the Lord. That settles the issue of the will of God. What will you, Lord, have me to do? I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. People will say to me, Brother Ross, why in the world have you been an associate pastor 26 years? Why have you been a youth director 26 years? And I'll tell you this, when I left home in 1972, went to Bible college, if you'd have told me that I'd have been any time at all along the trail of my future a youth director, I'd have told you you dropped off the back end of that cabbage truck, it went in reverse and squished your little pea brain. And I'll tell you what the Lord does every time I get to thinking, yeah, you know, maybe I ought to just go ahead and leave. Maybe I ought to just go ahead and do this. All of a sudden, there'll be a little set of knuckles on the door. Brother Ross, will you be my youth director when I grow up? That depends on whose little knuckles those belong to. Some of them I look at and say, oh, son, how many years before you're in the seventh grade? I see retirement on the horizon. I had a teenager come. Well, I keep still call him a teenager. They've got children that are in the youth department now. Say, oh, Brother Ross, you were saying that when I came. And I said, I'd have been better off if I'd have just done it, too. But can I tell you this, the truth be known, I wouldn't have wanted to miss the thrill of sticking around and seeing how God blessed Ben, and God blessed Ashley, and God blessed Emily. Well, I used to pray with Emily. We used to pray with all of our daughters. We used to pray with Emily, and I'd kneel down beside the bed. There'd be Emily, my wife would be on the other side, the girls, we'd all be gathered around there. That's what we had in our home. We had four sons, Cindy, Nancy, Catherine, and Emily. That's what every man wants to have, you know. A lot of support. We didn't put anything to a vote in our home. Even the fish were females, you know. I don't know. Bad. Only two things we had were males, were cats, and we got them neutered. That big help. And I'd kneel over there, and I'd be praying with Emily, and all of a sudden Emily would say, Dear Lord, I want to be a missionary. I'd put my arm around, now, Emily, that's not the way the prayer goes. This is how you really pray. Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I will be a missionary. And she'd look at me with a big round eye, but I want to be a missionary. Well, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit, shut up. Let her pray. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to that little girl pray, and I'd realize the fulfillment of what he said. Out of the mouth of babes, thou hast perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes, thou hast ordained praise. I would suppose that the Lord would rather hear the prayer of a child with an undefiled heart than the prayer of an old adult who's sitting there and taking a lot of things, even while preaching to others about living for the Lord and giving them all to Him, who somehow didn't manage through the day to die to self as much as I should have, and listen to my advice over what He was speaking to her tender heart about. I love praying with those little children. I love praying with those little children to this day. I've got a whole bunch of notes here that I'm going to read from the children in her little second and third grade class. And boy, they were out there, and I saw a little Cherith angel. Not little anymore, my word. You know, that's always a thrill when you're looking third graders eyeball to eyeball. That's been my portion in life. You can't imagine what a thrill that is. And these smart aleck college students, hoodlums is a good word. I walk over into a men's room at a rest stop the other day. They got this facility here, they got this facility here, they got this facility here, then I got this one way down here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. It's not where you wash your hands either. And I go walking in there and everybody says, Brother Ross, we saved the one for you anyway. I tell you, Ira, I could just take so much of this, you know. I need you. You got any openings this week? I need you on a choir tour. No. I'm just kidding. Just a vigorous speech. Oh, Ben, I almost got myself in there. I went in there. Okay. Two most important questions we can ask. What shall I do with Jesus? Secondly, what wilt thou have me to do? Let me say thirdly, what does it mean? What does it bring to be in the will of God? I'll tell you what it brings to be in the will of God. Number one, it brings peace to your heart. Oh, brother, there's nothing better than to just be at peace with God in the midst of a storm. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I thank the Lord that it also will bring usefulness. Now, when I go home at night, I don't feel like I've accomplished any great thing, but all of a sudden you get a note. All of a sudden you get a call. All of a sudden somebody will call out of the distant past, and they'll just call, and for a moment's time, I heard a college student, several college students call. They heard that we were about to go on choir tour, and they'll call and say, Brother Ross, I just wanted to tell you, boy, I tell you, you're going to go on choir tour, and I remember those days. I remember those times. I remember those stops. I remember those trips. And even in some difficult times where you might have a breakdown of some sort, a mechanical problem of some sort, Kristen Burke stood up here and gave testimony tonight about how her dad brought her out to Oklahoma City when she was only 11 years old. Now, I'll be honest with you, when we pulled away from that meeting back there in Maryland, I said to Brother Van Manen and I said to Brother Jones, there won't anything come out of that meeting. Nothing. Three families came out from that church over to Oklahoma Baptist College. And Brother Ron Burke did come. And Kristen came also, 11 years old. We commonly kidded Brother Burke and said, not only will you and your daughter go to school together, you may graduate together. It just about happened, but I praise the Lord for the Burke family. And there were a lot of good things that came out of meetings where I never thought anything really happened. Another one like that, Madison, Wisconsin. We're up there visiting. I never thought anything would come out of that meeting in Madison, Wisconsin, Brother Angel. That was the craziest, one of the craziest stops we ever had in our life. Nothing seemed to go right. I mean, it was crazy. I wondered how we ever found them, how they ever found us, how we ever got together. But I'll tell you what came out of there. Missionary Mike Weiss came out of there. And now we've got his nephew in school. And all of his uncles, that boy's uncles is a student now, they all come back and they brought a bunch of students down to hear Brother Sharp during college for a week. A whole lot came out of that meeting in Madison, Wisconsin. What it means is I just need to get out of the way. Others need to get out of the way and just let Lord have full sway. And just ask people to prayerfully consider this. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll tell you this. Being in the will of God not only brings peace to your heart and brings usefulness, it brings rewards at judgment time. Now, let me say this. I've got to hasten, but let me say this. Here's some things that we need to see. We need to realize tonight that the will of God is not always present. In other words, we're living for the will of God and living in the will of God. But we don't know, perhaps today, what we're ultimately going to be doing. So what do we need to do? We need to be in the will of God right here. And be in the will of God right here. So that if the Lord gives us 10 years, we'll be in the will of God wherever that might be. I don't know what God's going to have me to do 10 years from now. It's best I don't worry about 10 years from now and not worry about today. Just take care of today and be right in the center of the will of God. I'll say secondly about things we need to see concerning the will of God. The will of God is not always lucrative. George Mueller is a great man of faith. Everybody would like to have the end of George Mueller's life, but nobody wants to go through the oven and have it the way it was at the beginning, where he would pray literally over every bite of food that was to go into the mouth of every orphan. At the end, his prayer was, Lord, give us more mouths to take advantage of all the food we have. Oh, we could easily live for the Lord that way. But no, he didn't get that until he first went through the part of saying, Lord, we need food for this meal. We need food. He was asking the Lord to bless food he didn't even know he had. And before the prayer was over, it'd be a knock at the door. You've heard the illustrations, a broken down meat truck or a milk truck or something out there. We've got this food. It'll spoil. If we don't get it somewhere, well, just bring it right in here. We're just sitting down ready to eat. Now, you know, what we do as Christians, we realize that could happen for a George Mueller. When George Mueller started that prayer, he didn't know it was going to happen for him. And we say, we know that that could happen for a Brother Angel. We know that could happen for a Brother Vineyard. We know that could happen for a Brother Roloff or a Brother Hiles. But we just don't know it'll happen for us. And we need to be in the will of God and say, Lord, I realize this. Success in the ministry is not always spelled with a dollar sign. But it will always be spelled with a yieldedness on our part. And I say this, not only is the will of God not always present, and not only is the will of God not always lucrative, but the will of God is not always popular. You strike out to be in the will of God, and I'll tell you this, it may cost some of your friends. It may cost some of your popularity, but it won't be the kind of popularity you're going to miss. It'll be the popularity that'll enhance your testimony. Hey, when people get in trouble, they'll come looking for you for help. They're not going to be looking for their good time buddy down there they were getting in trouble with at the time. And I've got to say this, how can I know the will of God? Well, I've got to be submitted. If I'm going to be submitted and be in submission, then I've got to learn to die to self. I've got to be learning to be empty of self-will. I need to learn to wait on God, and I need to obey God, going where He wants me to go and doing what He wants me to do. Oh, I'll tell you this, a proper evaluation of the world is going to help me to understand what I need to know in determining the will of God. The world has nothing good out there for me. I've got to be in this world, but I don't have to be of this world. I really am not going to lose any sleep over what the world thinks of me. I know they don't lose any sleep over what I think of them. Somebody said this, it took 430 years to get Israel out of Egypt. The battle ever since has been getting Egypt out of Israel. And that's our battle as Christians. We need to learn to die to self, be fully submitted to the will of God. And then let me say in closing here tonight, we need to have a readiness and a willingness to do whatever He says. We need to be completely emptied of self and completely ready, willing, and available to do whatever He wants us to do. The first time the Lord begins to speak to your heart about what He wants you to do, it may rock you back on your heels and scare you half to death. That's probably good that it does. Do you remember what it was like when you were old enough to first understand what salvation was all about? Sometimes it scares a person right there, but he can't get away from it. And a proper, healthy fear of God is always the beginning of wisdom and always something pure and good. And so we've got to realize I've got to have a readiness and a willingness to do whatever God says. I remember the day, Brother Angel, that you were preaching at youth conference. It was on a Friday. And Ben was there, and he'd come down with the other teenagers from the church. I was sitting next to Ben, and Ben had gone up. He'd raised his hand. He'd made a decision, and when the decision was read, the decision said that Ben had decided to come to Oklahoma Baptist College. And that he was sure that this was the will of God for his life right now. Boy, my heart, I said amen. The easiest thing in the world for Ben to have done was stay right close to home. But the Lord knew what was out there ahead of Ben 4 years later. There's Ben, there's Ashley, now there's little McKenna. Somewhere along the line, Madagascar got in the picture. Now, it isn't that God could not have done things for Ben somewhere else. But Ben was interested only, not in what was easy, but just what specific thing, Lord, do you want me to do? I'll say this. A year ago, probably in March, Caleb was in pursuit of the will of God. You say, why were you so interested in what Caleb's pursuit of the will of God was? Because he had my daughter pursuing it with him. That really gets you involved in the lives of these students. Do you think one of my sorry sons-in-laws would have ever left one of them in Oklahoma? No, not on your... We've got two of them living in Texas. We got one of them living in the Ukraine, and now, praise the Lord, one right here in Illinois. You know, my heart's so full, it's about to pop. It really is. And people come up and ask the brightest question, don't you miss your daughters? Hey, do fish swim? Yeah, sure I do. But ask me where I would want them to be, dead center in the will of God. If that means the Ukraine, and I tell people all the time, I've got four daughters, and One lives near Chicago in Bourbonnais, Illinois. One lives near Houston in Tomball. And one lives in Paris. And one lives in Kiev. And the one that always gets the attention, Paris. Oh, Paris. I say, yeah, Paris, Texas. The ugliest place in Texas. This year, Brother Angel, I'm taking two of those grandsons of mine from Paris, Texas. We're going through Paris, France, over to Kiev, Ukraine, to visit little Daniel over there. Two of his boy cousins are coming over to visit, and they're having a breakout of insanity over there in Kiev, trying to keep a lid on that little Daniel Hudson until his two cousins get there. He's got 5 weeks of activities planned for the 8 or 9 days that we're going to be there. You know, there's nothing that thrills the heart of a grandpa any more than just knowing the grandkids may be on the other side of the world, but they're in the middle of the will of God. I wouldn't want for them to be anywhere else. And a year ago in March, Caleb had been praying about what the will of God for him would be. He prayed like everything depended on God. He was working like everything depended on him. He went out and checked out another ministry. He went out and he asked people, including Brother Angel, what do you think of this preacher? And he got advice. I remember at a youth conference, he talked to Brother Woodward, talked to Brother Ballard, he talked to Brother Angel. At another conference we had at the church, talked to Brother Vineyard, talked to others. Went out there, took Emily out there, saw the ministry. Came back, and after letting Dr. Vineyard know what he thought about everything, what he felt about everything, what he saw, Brother Vineyard said, Caleb, I don't believe that that would be the will of God for you right now. So April rolled in last year. And to be honest with you, I could see in Caleb kind of an apprehension and an anxiety. He's wanting to go. Didn't want to be throttled back. Just wanted to, and at the same time, wanted to wait on the Lord. The day of North-South School of the Prophets rolls around. That's a big, big day. It's coming real soon again. Last year was April 28th. This year is April 29th. It's just as serious. We always pray that on April 30th we still have a school. It's just about split right in half. And Brother Angel walked in the back door, and it was such a blessing to see him, as always. And they came, and Ben was the captain of the North team last year. It was a little painful for Brother Angel because he wasn't exactly for the North, although he was for his son. He wished his son well and dismal blessings on the rest of his teammates. It didn't go his way. God did intervene. Praise God. Okay. Yes. God bless you. I see that hand out there. But can I say this? When he walked in, of course, Emily and Caleb, they saw him. And Caleb walked back over there and shook hands with Brother Angel. Brother Angel asked me later that night, just a harmless question. I was sitting there and all the going on. He said, what is Caleb going to do after graduation? I said, well, he's praying about that right now. That's all I said. That's all he asked. And then he called again a couple days later. And somebody else asked me a couple days later what Caleb was going to do. And if you know, Brother Angel had talked to him yet, talked to me yet. Now, you talk to me. I didn't say a word to my wife. And when you called back, boy, my heart just jumped into orbit. I said, Lord, I hadn't even thought about that, but boy, if that would work out, that would be unbelievable. It was such good news, I didn't want to say a word about it, and I didn't. Then, Brother Angel called Caleb. Caleb made the mistake of telling Emily. Emily made the mistake of telling my wife. My wife came right back to me, did you know that Brother Angel... I knew a little bit about that. Why didn't you tell me? He said he asked me to pray about it. I didn't know you were the Lord. You women, you need to learn to die to self. I was helping my wife die to self. But I likely got killed in the process when she found out. Oh, I'll tell you this. When the Lord work things out the way he did. I'll tell you this. I couldn't have been happier. There's nothing that would have made me happier. But say your kids are leaving. Hey, they're doing what God wants them to do. They're working, in my opinion, best pastor in America. The up-and-coming preacher in America. And I'm not trying to pour out a bunch of false adulations there. I just thank the Lord for the way He worked. I thank the Lord for the way He worked in Cindy's life and in Nancy's life and in Catherine's life and in Emily's life. You see, when you try to stay in the center of the will of God, you just stay focused on that. Don't worry about taking all those detours. Stay focused on that and watch God bless not only your life, but the lives of your family members. Are you in the will of God tonight? Can you stand here tonight and say to the Lord, Lord, it's all right. I want what You want for me. The Lord said, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. There was a night in the Lord's life when all in Him that was human collided with all in Him that was divine. The battle of deity that night. And aren't you glad, and aren't I glad, and won't we be glad as eternity rolls on, that He said, not my will, but Thine be done. And He's got a will just like that for you. Know the will of God and do it.